This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Yeah, you mentioned tone, and that there are people who don't think he needs to change his tone. Well, remember what mocking the disabled and making misogynist comments about women, attacking Megyn Kelly, saying that comment about POWs in order to attack McCain. Remember what that's garnered him. That has garnered him a 69% disapproval among the voters. This guy is less popular than any person who's ever been nominated for president.
But he won.
Except one.
He won
David
with
Duke.
All
well,
of
he,
that.
Yeah, but you know what? He can't win the general election if he is upside down, if his favorables
are outnumbered
by his unfavorables
by 41%.
So look, there are two Trumps.
He will bring his negatives down. But should he apologize?
No, I'm not saying that. He needs to. There are two Trumps. There's the good Trump who says outrageous things about what it is that he wants to do to captivate the American people. There is the bad Trump who goes off the rails and mocks the disabled, attacks POWs, assaults Megyn Kelly, and says Ted Cruz's father was involved in the assassination of JFK. That's what's driving his negatives up. So he gets to decide. Is his tone going to be the good Donald Trump who says the things that he believes with passion and authenticity, or is it the bad Donald Trump who goes out and insults Americans and driven those up? Look, one out of every two Republican primary voter women say that they do not and might not vote.
Problematic.
That's very problematic.
All right.
Well, I like O'Reilly. O'Reilly's going to give advice to Donald Trump. Tell him how to be nice. You know, Donald Trump is Donald Trump, and you can tell right there, Scott, there's not a big bunch of love lost between Karl Rove and Donald Trump. He has just really turned the tables upside down in the GOP, and they've got fissures all over. I mean, now you've got a report from Paul Ryan that Ryan is saying, hey, if Donald Trump doesn't want me to be the Republican chair for the convention, I'll step down if that's what he wants. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, this stuff is so petty. I'm really disappointed. I got to tell you, I've been disappointed here recently with Paul Ryan, with him giving, first of all, President Obama what he wanted. You know, it's like everybody voted him into office. Everybody, you know, Republicans, you know, voted him into office because we wanted some change. We asked him to lead the House, and what has he done? I mean, you know, it's just, you know, given President Obama everything that he wanted and then some. And this is in the face of us being $19 trillion in debt. You know, there's no question that Donald Trump is turning things upside down. But what you find with leaders, and, you know, look at Barack Obama right now, his approval ratings, 53%. And you're thinking, wait a minute, this guy's all over the place apologizing. He's selling out the future of the United States. I mean, is America just so oblivious to all the executive orders? Obamacare is falling on its face. This is his signature piece of legislation, and he's got 53% approval rating. You know, the guy's charming. Let's face it. You watch him, you know, at the correspondence dinner, and you chuckle, and you say, God, this guy really is funny. And it would be cool to go out there and play basketball with him or go play golf and have some fun. But his politics and his perspective about where he wants to take America and what he sees for America in terms of evening out the playing field, you know, he grew up with a worldview that said America was blessed in a way that they were undeserving. And somehow he sees it as his goal in life to kind of redistribute, you know, the fortune that we've had. I mean, forget the fact that it had anything to do with the hard work of many Americans before us. You know, have there been shenanigans, crony capitalism, of which he's been a part of, and all this other stuff? Certainly there has been. It's been a mixed bag, but it's not like it's all been bad. Can you imagine what the world would be like today without an America? Denise D'Souza presented that possible theory for us, and it's a scary thought. Look at the conversation will continue, and I appreciate you joining in.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available on most.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound?
This is Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. We come to you every day, Monday through Friday, 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. It's always good to have you along with us. We got a real treat for you and an honor to have with us a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. Do I say winner recipient? I think is the most appropriate term. Clint Romiche is with us. He's just released a book, Red Platoon, A True Story of American Valor, the unflinching firsthand account of the 14-hour firefight at the Battle of Cop Keating. And the former staff sergeant, Clinton Romiche, enlisted in the Army back in 1999. He deployed twice in Iraq in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom and once to Afghanistan in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. At the time of the deadly attack on combat outposts, which you call Cop Keating, on October the 3rd, 2009, Staff Sergeant Romiche was assigned as a section leader for Bravo Troop 361st Cavalry, 4th Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division. Ironically, he would be serving in an infantry division that your father was part of way back when. Is that correct, Clint?
Yes, Bill. Appreciate you for having me on today. But yeah, Dad had served with the 4th Infantry on his tours in Vietnam.
And then your grandfather, I mean, you have quite a heritage of family that has fought for our freedoms and supported what we believe here in the United States. In fact, I think I was reading about your grandfather who was at the Battle of the Bulge. My father was at the Battle of the Bulge as a medic as well. So we have a little bit of connection here. And you had three brothers in the service. I was the third of three that served during Vietnam as well, although I served stateside. But your story, Clint, is just unbelievable. And it's not only your story, but it's the story of the men there, what, the 52 men that were there that day on October the 3rd, 2009, right?
Yeah, it's very much their story, not mine. And that's what really went into writing the book is it's capturing those perspectives of the guys I have serving right along there with me that day. I mean, after receiving the medal, I get some of the spotlight and the attention. But if it truly wasn't for those 52 other Americans, I wouldn't be here today. And if it wasn't for those eight great men that gave up more than anything that could be asked of them, I wouldn't be here. And that's just the fact of the matter. And I hope that doing this book really opens the eyes and the hearts of people that when they read it, they can kind of hopefully get a little sliver of understanding of what goes in to the service and sacrifice of keeping this country a free and proud nation.
Clint, there's so much about your character that's exposed in this book, not to mention your gift as a writer. The way you told the story is so compelling. Oftentimes I couldn't help but feel I was there with you as the bombs were, you know, being released there, you know, from, you know, whether it was the helicopter or what you called the, what was it, the bone?
The B-1 bomber, the bone,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, which... it was amazing, and you know we've heard about it. I've never experienced it firsthand, but you know we've heard stories before about the concussive impact that the bombs could have. But here you were in a situation where you had to have them lay bombs as close as possible, and you could just hope and pray that it wasn't too close, right?
You know, and that's just a test of great men I served with, like Lieutenant Bunderman, who, you know, had made that decision, knowing that the times were so dire, but to have such amazing leadership skills to sit there and take that risk, to understand that risk was well worth the reward, because without bringing that indirect fire and that close air support that close to us, and helping repel the enemy from being in the wire and right on top of it, that, you know, if he didn't make that decision, we surely would have been way worse off than what we were.
Well, let's strategically look at Camp Keating. You know, your rallying cry, I guess, so to speak, or maybe the motto for the camp was, it doesn't get better, because sometimes you find yourself in situations that you may not understand, but you're there and you're making the best of a situation. Because as I was reading your story here in Red Platoon, you go, well, yeah, why this outpost? You're so strategically disadvantaged. You're far away from support. And, you know, and it didn't seem like there was a clear strategic advantage for you being there other than being a target for the Taliban and anybody else that wanted to come and torment you.
You know, that was, I got to see that kind of attitude that you see time and time again in our servicemen and women. That you can put them in pretty dire situations and understand that when these great people serve, that, you know, they give up that right. You know, that's the freedoms they sacrifice to go and protect this country, is the ability to sit there and say, hey, look, this doesn't make entirely too much sense. And to understand, you know, I don't know what the decision-making process at the four-star general level. That's not my lane. My lane was a staff sergeant and a cab platoon. And my influence was over those guys. And to have that attitude and mentality of, you know, certain things will be out of your control in the military. But if you sit there and you spin your tires and you just get negative with the situation you're in instead of flipping it around and understanding we're going to make today the best day possible so it can never get better.
Exactly.
The best it can ever be is such a beautiful thing to witness, even in the most dire of times.
Well, here you are. I mean, again, you're in the low ground, right? I mean, because right above the Taliban, and this is why you mentioned in the book that, you know, the almost like the daily routine wake-up call was, you know, fire coming into the camp, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could almost set your alarm off the Taliban's AK-47s coming in. It really wasn't uncommon. That was kind of their practice, and you got used to it. And leading up to it, you know, that helped, you know, give us the perspective of, you know, we'd sit there late at night with Gallegos and Kirk and Bunderman game planning, you know, if we were going to attack ourselves, how would we do it?
Exactly.
And then we'd use what we'd discussed to say, look, we make an adjustment here. If we change our standard operating procedure on a reaction drill over here to the front gate, you know, we constantly got to keep them on their toes. Because of that prior game planning and that great leadership and experience of coming together and sharing it. Like I said, not getting muddled down in the negative stuff of it, but let's look what we can do to improve.
Now, Clint, how long were you there at Camp Keating before that fateful day of October 3rd?
We were going on just around the three-month mark by the time October 3rd had happened. We had gotten word that, you know, we were closing that outpost down in just a couple more weeks. You know, we'd supported the elections that went on that summer, and then with the firefight of recapturing the village of Barge Bolt to all the north of us, had kind of moved the timeline to close it earlier. But unfortunately, the Taliban had even a tighter timeline on us on exiling out of there.
Was there any intel at all to give you any indication that October 3rd was going to be the day, or any kind of warning, or was just all, you know, kind of a sense of gut that something foreboding was just around the corner?
You know, from the very first day, the very first night we stepped foot on ground, I mean, every report we had coming in, this outpost is, we've got human intelligence, radio transmission intelligence, that you're going to get attacked between 50 and 150 fighters. And that report came in on a daily basis.
Well,
and,
hey, Clint, we got to go to break. We're picking up, you know, from this point here on the other side of the break. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you, and we're talking with Clint Romachet, Medal of Honor recipient. His book, Red Platoon. More from Clint right after this.
This report is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. With the arrival of spring, we've officially entered the start of prom and graduation season. This is an exciting and monumental time in a teen's life. It's also an ideal time for parents to talk to their teenagers about underage drinking so that they have a safe and memorable experience. This year, Anheuser-Busch has partnered with world-renowned comedy theater enterprise, The Second City, to create a series of short and relatable videos to encourage parents to talk with their teenagers about drinking and making responsible choices, specifically around prom and graduation season. According to the GFK Roper Youth Report, parents are the number one influence when it comes to their children's decisions on whether or not to drink alcohol underage. Katia Zastro, Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility, Better World for Anheuser-Busch.
Our number one goal is to arm parents with educational information and content that helps fuel open and honest conversations with their children about underage drinking.
For parents who have questions on how to approach their teens or don't know where to start, visit FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply nitrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Again, 855-305-8326.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 10 days by calling 1-800-945-9289. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day at-home trial. 1-800-945-9289. That's 1-800-945-9289.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Getting America back on track.
It's a lie!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Our conversation continues with Medal of Honor recipient Clinton Romichet. His book, Red Platoon, A True Story of American Valor. Clinton writes, "It doesn't get better." To us, that phrase nailed one of the essential truths, maybe even the essential truth, about being stuck at an outpost whose strategic and tactical vulnerabilities were so glaringly obvious to every soldier who had ever set foot in that place that the name itself, Keating, had become a kind of a backhanded joke. In 2009, Clinton Romichet of Red Platoon and the rest of Black Knight Troop were preparing to shut down Command Outpost Cop Keating and the most remote and inaccessible in a string of bases built by the U.S. military in Nuristan and Kunar in the hope of preventing Taliban insurgents from moving freely back and forth between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Clinton, I wanted to pick up for where we left off. So every day you're being warned. Intel is coming in saying you're going to get attacked by 50, 60 Taliban. But on October 3rd, it was many more than that. They decided they had enough with the U.S. presence there in their backyard, and they were going to take you off the face of the map, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, that report came in for almost 3 months straight. So when October 3rd kicked off that morning and they showed up with about 300 fighters, you know, it was one of those things waking up, you know, I was still racked out of sleep when I heard the first shots coming in. It's normally, you know, like I said, it was kind of like an alarm clock, but that morning waking up and hearing the amount of fire with the machine guns, the RPGs, recoilless rifle mortars, and you could hear more was coming in than going out. And just, I mean, knew in the gut that this is not something that's going to be a normal day. This is going to be something different. Didn't quite know exactly at that moment, but you just knew.
Well, and that began a 14-hour firefight at the battle for the command outpost of Keating. And, you know, what transpired in those next 14 hours, the heroism, like you say, a sense of I don't know, what do you want to call it, brotherhood, a sense of team,
It's a sense of love like I've never seen before. I watched my men I served with that day. You know, we weren't doing it out of anger to kill the enemy. Everything that was going on that day was out of love to save each other.
Well, you know, and for you to talk openly, my brother, my second oldest brother, was on the front lines in Vietnam as a field radio officer, and this was a tough deal and very hard for him to talk about. Even my dad, after World War II, and came in most combat. Heroes and people who have been in combat are very reticent to talk about this. And I got to tell you, Clint, that it's an honor to hear your story from you. And I think it's important because so few of Americans serve in the military today. I think it's, after all said and done, probably less than 3%. And of those, maybe 1% actually find themselves in a situation like what you found yourself in, where you are in a combat situation. Yours even more so extraordinary, and we're probably talking less than even 1% of that 1% again to be in a 14-hour firefight. But, you know, as you say, this gives you a sense of honor that's indescribable, a sense of respect and love for the men that fought with you, the men that paid the ultimate sacrifice. And, you know, it really ties you into the woof and warp in a very deep and personal way about the values and the freedoms of America that we enjoy. And because of the things that you and the men there on that day, October the 3rd, and many other days who have fought for our freedoms, I just, you know, I don't know how how to express to you and to others how significant this is and how we perceive it to be, that we not take our freedoms for granted.
No, absolutely. I mean, part of doing the book is understanding that right now the current service level is less than 0.5% in this country. And it is very difficult as veterans to sit there and share. I mean, my father, like I said, going over to Vietnam, I knew he had went, but we never talked about anything he had ever done or seen or heard over there until I came back from my first deployment in combat. And it's something that it is difficult to sit there and try to talk to a non-veteran that doesn't quite know. And it's one of those unspoken languages that it's more about the words not getting said than the ones that are. But by doing Red Platoon, with the understanding that, you know, it's that 99.5% that truly sometimes take for granted what the burden of that 0.5% is bearing for them. And if we as veterans don't explain that and don't pass that on to the next generation, that history of service and sacrifice will be easily forgotten.
Exactly. And along with that is the reason why. You know, why you stepped up, yes, to, you know, help one another and you know, protect each of the brothers that were there on that incredible day. But even grander is the, you know, that you've got a family back home that you want them to be free. And, you know, imagine what this world would be like without an America.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Reagan said it best when he talked about, you know, we are just one generation away from losing our freedom. It's not passed to our children in our blood. It's something that they have to be exposed to and understand. And we've got to convey that history of service and sacrifice. And, you know, I grew up, my father, you know, I didn't have to be in the military to be a member of the Romiche family, but it was always in courage of service. And service comes from more than just wearing a uniform at times.
Exactly.
But we definitely, as a society, have got to give back to make sure that this country remains a free place to raise and grow up and not live under the banner of tyranny.
Clint, as you're going through this 14-hour firefight, I imagine it was an incredible roller coaster ride of emotions, and probably, you know, some fateful emotions set in where you think, you know, how are we going to survive this? I mean, you even go out and you're determined to collect the bodies. You didn't want the Taliban to collect any of your fallen brothers, and at risk, you guys go out and retrieve the bodies of the fallen soldiers, which is, you know, most incredible in and of itself. But having gone through all those emotions where you think that maybe this is it, you know, this is it, and then you get to that point where you think, hey, we're going to survive this. What was it like for you going through those emotions?
You know, the day was, I mean, just a chaos of everything going on. And as I look back going through it, you know, I really wasn't scared what was ever going to happen to me. Really didn't care. It was, I was scared just beyond belief of what was happening to the guys around me. Knowing that Gallegos and those guys up at that Humvee were isolated and stuck and cut off. And we had to do everything in our power to go get them, because if the roles were reversed, Gallegos was going to come get me. Mm-hmm. And that was the motivation. It wasn't a fear of myself. It was a fear of what was going to happen to them, and the understanding that the worst thing is to know that you've lost one of your own, and even more scary is to know that they might be in the hands of the enemy. And there's no sacrifice that will ever be too great to make sure that never happens. You give it everything you've got, because you know they do the exact same for you. And that's that just sense of loyalty and duty and love for each other that there's no other military, no other enemy, no other occupation in the world that portrays it like the military does.
Clinton, what's the big takeaway for America and for the fighting soldier today from this experience, the way you see it?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway for the American people is an understanding of, you know, and we send our boys and gals over to go fight these things. We've got to be fully committed 100%, all or nothing, and we give them everything to be successful. To the soldiers that are over there doing it, to understand that they're around the best people in the world. The camaraderie you make is like no other, and you know when push comes to shove, that you've got someone that's got your back through thick and thin no matter what.
Well, Clinton Romeshay has been with us, Medal of Honor recipient. Clinton, thank you very much for the book and the story. I mean, you're gifted on so many levels. I mean, here you were, a former staff sergeant, and writing a book like this, and the way you relayed the story and the way you honored the men and your platoon of what happened on that fateful day of October 3rd, 2009 at the combat outpost Keating. We thank you for Red Platoon, a true story of American valor. Clinton.
Amway, a leader in direct selling, just launched the XS Sports Nutrition line, marking its continued expansion in the rapidly growing sports and performance nutrition market. The XS Sports Nutrition line features a variety of products, including pre- and post-workout supplements, energy bars, protein powder, and shakes to help you hydrate, energize, and recharge. XS Sports Nutrition products are designed to fuel active lifestyles by quenching thirst, boosting and sustaining energy, and hastening recovery and building lean muscle mass. According to Amway, everyone can benefit from these products, from athletes to everyday active and health-conscious consumers. In fact, the Natural Marketing Institute reports about half of U.S. adults consume sports nutrition products today. Amway said the thriving sports and performance nutrition market marks an exciting new opportunity for Amway independent business owners and the next generation of entrepreneurs. The new XS Sports Nutrition line is an extension of the XS brand, which Amway acquired last year and has distributed since 2003. For more information, visit amway.com/XS.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, we're coming at you. It's the one and only, yes, it's me, your humble servant, Bill Martinez. We're at you live 28 minutes before the top of the hour. By the way, if you want that free DVD that we're giving away, we've got some DVDs of the movie Risen that's released today in its digital format. And then May 24th, it'll be released as a DVD Blu-ray, and you can get it early. All you got to do is send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com, and say, Martinez, put me in the running for it. Hey, we pull your name. You got a free DVD with our compliments. Thank you so much. Michael Stumo is with us. He's an expert on TPP, CEO of Coalition for a Prosperous America. A lot has been talked about trade. And, it's good for us to have Michael Stumo here, who is an expert, understands there are some things on the surface that politicians can talk about. It seems rather populist and makes sense. But there's some nuances to the TPP. And, you know, it's like what you take away on one side doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to gain it on the other. You know, there's, as I say, a lot of moving parts to this. And Michael's going to make it very simplistic for us to understand. Right, Michael?
I sure hope so. I'll give it my best shot. Great to be here, Bill.
Hey, good to have you with us. Well, we've got Donald Trump.
I'll try to de-wonkify it. Yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. That'll go a long way because, you know, Trump is real good with the headlines. He'll go out there and say, look, there's a problem with trade. And he's right to some degree that people really haven't been paying attention to this. This is kind of like run away on us. And, you know, maybe we need to look at it, but I don't think it's necessarily as simple as, hey, we're just going to level the playing field overnight, because after all, it's kind of like getting fat. You know, you don't get fat overnight. It takes time. You don't get skinny overnight. So this is going to be a process. But the fact that somebody's looking at it and saying, hey, maybe this is worthy of inspecting, what do you say?
Yeah, we really need a fundamental new direction in trade policy. We've had 40 years of trade deficits in the last 15 or 20 has been the worst. Trade deficits are when we buy from other countries more than we sell. So we give up, our businesses give up more domestic market share in our market than they gain overseas. And so a trade deficit is a recipe for, it's a big drag on growth. It causes low growth. It causes job loss. Whereas a trade surplus, when you sell more than you buy, which is how the U.S. grew. In fact, that's how China grew to be an undeveloped country into a rival, you know, a geopolitical rival, you know, threatening superpower status by being a trade surplus country, getting rich from that, mostly from the U.S. consumers, which is the wealthiest consumer market in the world. Yeah. So there's economic and there's geopolitical and national security implications. And Trump is right, and frankly, Sanders is too, on the economic populist side on the left, that we really need a rethink.
Well, we've had a movement in this country for quite a while, of which, you know, for all intents and purposes, Hillary Clinton is the standard bearer for. And that is this globalist perspective. They want to redistribute wealth. That includes our wealth. And somehow level the playing field the way they see it is some sort of geopolitical justice out of the goodness of their heart at our expense. And this has been something that they've been working on for a long time. But now you got Trump saying, wait a minute, you know, and Sanders as well. We need to take a look at this. And can we level the playing field and take some of this back without upsetting too many people, and then find ourselves in another, you know, brink of a world war because we've, you know, decided that we wanted to change the trade parameters.
Well, the certainly, you know, the bipartisan, the establishment Democrats and the establishment Republicans, from H.W. Bush to Clinton to W. Bush to Obama, have all supported these rigged trade deals. They're supported and pushed by Wall Street and the transnational companies, the GEs, the Monsantos, Procter & Gamble. And it does redistribute wealth from the middle class to the transnationals. And that's why we have, you know, 50% of our country makes less than $30,000 a year. 40% of our country makes less than 20, of workers. I'll put that with workers. Make less than $20,000 a year, and it's, you know, we're going backwards in development. So, you know, what do you do? You know, first we've got to stop the old dumb rigged trade deals like the TPP, and then we maybe need to take some unilateral acts to in a way leveling the playing field. Yeah, maybe that's enough. Maybe not. Maybe we've got to tip it our way for a few years to make back what we lost. But actually, balance, getting rid of trade persistent trade deficits is not good macroeconomics. And getting to a balance where we sell about what we buy is what free trade was supposed to produce. We just haven't done it, and we need to be a little more aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, in the process of free trade, it has become unfair trade. Unfair for us. And now, is there a way? I mean, Hillary Clinton says, you know, initially she said, hey, this was the most brilliant thing that Barack Obama had come up with, the TPP. Now she's stepping it back a little bit and going, well, in spirit, I kind of agree with it. But, you know, I need to put my fingerprints on this thing.
Who knows what she's going to do? You know, Trump has been against these things for years since he supported the Reform Party and Perot. So he's been pretty consistent. Sanders has been consistent. Clinton has not. She supported NAFTA. She supported other trade deals. She did vote against CAFTA, but her base and the way the country is moving, you know, she does stick her finger in the air, and the winds are now that these deals are very unpopular. So she's a flip-flopper, and she's going to go where she thinks the base will go because she doesn't – because that's what she does. But we'll see. You know, time will tell. I don't have a crystal ball there.
Well, and I respect that, Michael. I'm not trying to put you on the spot because I don't even think her husband can really prognosticate with too much success what she's going to do. Although, I mean, she has been a globalist. She continues to move that way,
right.
And which moves us away from this populist perspective that Trump and even Sanders have revived. I mean, you know, it's interesting because when you take a look at these, really they're bookends of the same story from a different perspective, and that is they're both operating outside of the paradigm and saying, look, we need to bring it back home where it counts.
Right, right. You sort of have, at the risk of over caricature, you sort of have, you know, economic nationalists on the right and economic populists on the left, and they blend and mix, and they kind of agree with each other, even if they disagree on other things. But you've got, you know, Elizabeth Warren and Jeff Sessions agreeing on this. I mean, how far apart are they?
Exactly.
My organization has manufacturing, agriculture, and organized labor in it. And I have Tea Partiers and constitutional conservatives. I have labor union folks, manufacturers, and farmers. I mean, I tell people it's like running an ideological Star Wars bar scene. You remember that?
Exactly. I love that. Yeah. Well, the thing is, and we were talking about this the other day, is that in that Star Wars bar scene, you know, you get to shoot them up for a minute, and then 30 seconds later, they pick up the body parts, and you know, the music starts playing, and it's like nothing happened.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I have another pink brew of something, right? Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, the thing is maybe this is the right time where the cards are all being reshuffled to maybe we can, you know, with the right leadership and people understanding, you know, the history of this, Michael, that maybe we can move forward in a way that's really win-win for all concerned. What do you think?
Very optimistic. Very optimistic.
Yeah. Well, that's what my father has said. I was a born optimist, but I still believe that at the end of the day, you know, we need to be productive. It needs to be win-win. Whether it's the Chinese or Mexico or whoever, they know they've gotten a great deal, and you know, now that somebody's looking at it, it may be coming to an end. But you know, we've got to find a way to do it that is compassionate, it is fair, it's firm, it's still friendly, right?
That's right. Basically, you know, we have to. There are ways to do that.
Well, Michael, we're out of time, and to be discussed at another time. Michael Stumo, expert on TPP and CEO of Coalition for a Prosperous America.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2-2 weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nuvenup, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nuvenup because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles. and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nufina Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ilikethewayitlook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ilikethewayitlook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ilikethewayitlook.com. ilikethewayitlook.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims, we just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
Hey, welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez.
Online at BillMartinezLive.com.
You can join me online on your smartphone, any one of the 275-plus affiliates of Bill Martinez Live. This portion of Bill Martinez Live being brought to you by my good friends at SaveTheStorks.com. Hey, get on the bus with us. Would you? There's 21 buses out there right now that are parked in front of abortion clinics offering women a ultrasound picture of their baby. Believe it or not, 85% of the women that take them up on that free offer change their mind. They choose life. Where moments before they were heading to an abortion clinic and just say, hey, this is the most convenient thing to do. It's done. But Save the Storks approaches this quite differently. It's about life. It's about the journey. It is about the process. On one hand, I mean, quite a contrast. An abortion clinic, it's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, it's done. They got your money, go. I mean, they don't even send you a Christmas card. Save the Storks are with you for the journey to say, look, we know that you chose life and whatever it is, you know, if you want to consider adoption, whatever it is, we want to come alongside and help you in any way possible. This is what I appreciate about partnering with SaveTheStorks.com. Give them a call. Any donation would be much appreciated. Tell them Bill Martinez told you to call 844-578-6757. That's 844-578-6757. SaveTheStorks.com. Up with us now is Dr. Meg Meeker, and she has written kind of, I think this is the follow-up, isn't it, Meg?
It is. Yes,
Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. You now turned it into a devotional. which is very cool. And I think it's cool, especially for guys, because this book is for fathers. It's targeted for fathers, but it's going to have an incredible impact on families in total, because I believe, Mag, that this is what the fathers need to hear today, is that you've been missing in action. You kind of been kicked out of the conversation. You're not allowed to participate. I mean, we're talking about, you know, abortions here for just a second with Save the Storks. And one of the things that that I hear fathers and would have been fathers grieving loudly about is that they're not even allowed to participate in this process of choosing life. It's all about the mother. It's all about women's rights. And women are out there making a decision, and they're carrying with them an eternal pain. And I say eternal, maybe this side of heaven. I mean, but they're carrying with them a deep pain when they're trying to reconcile what they just did and what has happened. And here we are, 56 million babies later, and after it's all said and done, part of the reason that Roe v. Wade went through was because of the threat of a mother's life, incest, rape, this sort of thing, which only represents less than 2% of that 56 million abortion rate. So most of the abortions have been done because, oops, wrong child, oops, wrong hookup. It's more of a convenient decision, but it is one that's very profound. And but the women are saying, hey, look, I want my father. I want my father's involved. I want the dad's involved. And there's, I think, kind of a cry that we're getting ready to hear from the men around this country, and I would say around the world, that are grieving for the children, that their children, yeah, that have died through this horrendous and horrific Holocaust.
Absolutely. You know, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that, you know, again, it's such a simple solution. I believe that one of the best ways to drive down abortion in our country is to encourage our fathers to be engaged with their teenage daughters. Mm-hmm. You know, you said that men have been sort of silenced. I talk about fathers in the home as being thrown into orbit. Mm-hmm. Women want their husbands here, but silent and doing things only when we want them to do. We complain because they don't engage, and then we ask them to engage, and then we criticize what they've done, so we throw them back into orbit. And I get it. You know, I went to an all-women's college in the 1970s, Mount Holyoke College outside of Boston, and feminism was really, really gaining momentum. And I think that there's a terrible, terrible toll that's been paid on our children, because whenever, you know, one partner of the couple, the wife or the mother, you know, criticizes the dad or pushes them out of the way on all fronts, whether it's going to have an abortion, decisions about so many things, it's really the children who pay the price. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing that happens to kids when mothers criticize fathers, and I see this all the time, particularly in divorced couples, is they, you know, put the fathers down, and what they don't realize is that they're ruining, they're harming that child's relationship that they so desperately need with their fathers. Exactly. And you and I talked earlier, I really believe that the answer to so many of the nation's ills is getting our dads back. Can you imagine if we had dads in our communities, gangs would go down. If we had dads in neighborhoods, the neighborhoods would be safer. Schools, kids can't learn in school, not because they necessarily have poor equipment or bad teachers. It's because they can't pay attention because they're wild, because there's no dad at home. Right. You know, so we need the presence of fathers back. And the best way to do that is to encourage them, to let them know how their children see them. And that's what I really wanted to do in the Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters book. And now the devotional, to sort of say, okay, here's why we need you, here's what you need to do, but it's all positive. And men go, I get it, I knew it all along. And I think that's why the original text hit such a nerve in the country.
Yeah. And what you're asking of men and reminding men is, just as you just suggested here, Meg, is that it's natural. We're wired,
yeah,
that way. we're wired that way. We're frustrated because we're not able to live on purpose and to participate in the families. The family system has been so greatly compromised because of feminism. Roles have been reversed, and it's all upside down. I mean, you hear in our music and these celebrities out there that they have been given voice to encourage young girls in all the wrong direction to say, you know, what do you need a man for? You know, you can earn the bacon. I mean, you know, I mentioned to you, we interviewed and spoke with Andrea Tanteros from Fox. And her latest book, Tied Up in Knots, she's going, you know, and it sounded to me, I said, you sound like the Peggy Lee song of the 60s. I go, before you were born, but I was, you know, I was a disc jockey and I played the song. You know, you get to that point, you got the money, you got everything, you got the house, you've got the education, everything else. And after it's all said and done, you're saying, is that all there is?
And yes, exactly. This is a hard issue. This is an issue that goes deep, that cannot be trumped by opinion, by public mm-hmm. opinion. You can say ad nauseum to women, you don't need your dads and you don't need husbands, but we know better. You can say it to daughters, you can say it to sons, you don't need your dads, but we know better. And that's why, you know, I will tell you a secret. I worked many years with abstinence education. I worked with Joe McElhaney, the Medical Institute of Sexual Health, to try to put a stab at the heart of Abercrombie and Fitch, saying, back off our kids. Quit over-sexualizing our kids. Mm. Get this, Bill. We immunize young girls and boys against a sexually transmitted infection, but we allow aggressive use of sex and marketing stuff to our children. Can you imagine if we had a vaccine preventing lung cancer and we still advertise cigarettes to kids? People wouldn't hear of it, but that's exactly what we do with sex. But I said, I'm so frustrated. Schools aren't getting through to kids. We had lobbyists in Congress. This isn't getting through. I said, what do I need to do if I want to keep a girl out of the backseat of some boy's car? And then I had this idea. Write to her fathers. And in the middle of my original Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, I talked about the dangers that a daughter would face if her dad, you know, allowed her to go out with the wrong guy. And you know what? It worked. It worked. Yeah. Because men, fathers have all the wiring. I don't care where they are, who they're from, how they were raised. You have all the wiring. But we need is to just set a spark to that wiring and let them run, and they will do what they need to do, and it'll work well.
Well, you know, to your point, this video, and some people would be aghast and go, oh my gosh, you're talking about somebody getting beat up. I don't know if you saw this or not. This video has gone absolutely viral. The dad, you know, caught his daughter's fiance cheating on her.
Mm.
Well, he went and beat the holy whatever out of this guy. I mean, didn't kill him, really, but I mean, it was, I mean, he let him know under no uncertain terms his daughter wasn't going to be treated that way.
Yeah.
And this was his language. And guess what? It got across to that young man very quickly. But he got, you know, he got some schooling there the hard way. The thing is, Meg, and you know, what we're talking about in terms of there is a fatherhood that's been waiting on the sidelines, waiting to be called into the field. And I'm saying, forget about being called. Just go get out of the stands and go. But the other thing is the young men that are behind the next generation. Philip Zimbardo has written a book. I don't know if you read this or looked at his research called Man Interrupted. These are these young kids, the fathers of tomorrow that are sitting there 7-10 hours in video games that have lost their connection with sexuality and intimacy. It is just an absolute disaster getting ready to be pronounced in our society. These are the fathers of tomorrow. But if the fathers of today do not stand up, get into the fight, and are an example and a model, not only to the daughters, but to the young men coming up in the next generation, we're really going to have a problem.
But you know what I believe, Bill? I believe they want to, and I think they're ready, and I think they can.
Well, and I'm with you. I believe they want you to because, it, like I said, they're waiting. They're wired. This is what they naturally do. And and they just have to be able to look feminism in the eye and just say, you know what? My love for my daughter and my family trumps your desire for feminism.
Exactly. Exactly. And hopefully, you know, my book is some tools that dads need. And, you know, with God's grace, I think that it'll read a lot of hearts of men.
Well, I highly recommend it. How do they get their hands on it, Dr. Meeker?
I would would go to Meg Meeker, MD, or go to Amazon, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, the devotional. I think men are going to love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you they will. Dr. Meg Meeker on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Meg.
Do you have dry hands or itchy, peeling skin? Are your cracked feet in need of a makeover for sandal season? Hi, my name is Diane Cook, the creator of B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream. B-Spa is all natural, 16% beeswax, marigold extract, and other essential oils and nutrients. B-Spa is great for exceptionally dry hands and feet, but B-Spa can be used anywhere on the body. I am sure you will see a difference overnight. B-Spa is the only cream you will ever need. The convenient 2.5-ounce size jar travels nicely and a little goes a long way. B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream costs $29.99. Use promotion code 101 for free shipping. Order B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream today at bespa.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com.